We are off and running. Get a little bird, good morning. Probably the only meadowlark in South Dakota right now. Just, I don't, maybe they go somewhere else. I don't know. Meadowlarks must be a migratory bird. If I was a bird, I would be a migratory bird. I don't care what kind of bird I was. I'd be getting out of here. Here's the question for today. As you say, some have told you in the past, taking the route you've taken, or we've taken, he says, will lead you to taking the word Baptist off the name of the church. We were told that a long time ago. Like that's a big deal, you know. But I don't find that to be absolutely necessary, since even Paul said there is one baptism. But in parentheses he puts here, which is a good point. I mean, he answered his own question here. He says, but I don't find that to be absolutely necessary, except for the sake of not being associated with the other type of Baptist. Okay, there you are. That's why you don't do it. The name, you put a Baptist church name on that thing, you know. Sure, catechism means studies, okay? So back in our North Star school back in New York many years ago, Christian school, King James Christian school, sort of kind of in name anyway, and they changed their Bible study one year to catechism. And I remember I was a nut that said, what do you mean catechism? It's a Catholic term. No, it means studies. Okay, but it's associated with a Catholic church. Why do we need to call it catechism? I just can get over that. And the Catholic, we also know, means universal. So, way back in my Lutheran years, I think we had to do the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I think we said something about the Catholic Church, the Holy Catholic Church, meaning universal. And how upset that everybody got, because in those days, my Lutheran family and parents hated the Catholic Church, hated it, despised it, wouldn't touch it for anything. So they changed all that stuff to the Catholic Church, which means universal, so it's okay. Well, we don't want to go with a Baptist church on the title, because even though Paul's is one Baptist, one baptism, you put that thing up there, and you're going to make everybody think you're just another common Baptist church. And you'll be dealing with people coming to visit or coming to the church one time only, and you won't say anything to get them to get it because you want them to come back. Same thing. The name of the church, if you have to have a name for a church, it ought to be what you are. And we finally ended up as, we went to Bible Believer, we went to ended up as King James Bible Church, I think it was. If people don't like that, they don't have to come. Remember, the goal of the local church is not to invite the lost and to sneak them in and to get them in, do something interesting to get them to come in so they can have a good time, learn about God and the way of God and all this kind of stuff. And it's wrong because they're not teaching the way of God more perfectly. It's deceptive. It's not geared for the lost people, the people that are truly saved, if they are, starved to death because nobody feeds them anything anymore. So that takes care of the name issue there. Then he says here, so let's hear something about the differences between the baptisms and how one relates to the Baptist baptism and the pre-crucifixion Christ and the others to spirit baptism and our risen Christ. I believe Paul's baptism is the coming of the Holy Spirit into us at the moment of our salvation. Says, am I right? Yes, you're right. Based on a King James rightly divided Bible, that is. Now, the whole thing there is just because we're turning to the scriptures now means nothing to anybody. It really doesn't. They could care less. They just don't care. My Bible says, they don't care what the Bible says. So we're gonna do the old-fashioned, archaic thing. We're going to pull out our Bible this morning. We're going to look at verses, look at the baptisms, and just get on to this thing here. Now, you got to remember also, folks, I think it's in Acts 19. Go to Acts chapter 19. We'll try to get this thing going here. I am Acts 19. Yep, Demetrius. Silversmith. Verse 25, it says, Sirs, we know that by this craft we have our wealth, so this demonic religious stuff here. And Paul has turned people away, verse 26, throughout all Asia, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands. And he says that again in Acts chapter 17, too, by the way. So this craft, these little statues, these little bathtubs of Mary and them type stuff, and the crosses that people buy and wear for jewelry, you know. I mean, the list goes on and on, things that are being made today. CDs, music, because that's made to worship God. It has everything to do with Diana. So it's a false religion. And he says in verse 27, not only is our craft in danger, so we quit spending our money on this junk, books, you know, modern books on Christianity, which they may identify the problem, but they don't identify the solution through Paul and risen Savior. It just helps them supposedly find out what's going wrong in America, which is not doesn't take a book to figure that out anymore. And it says, the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed. So, this modern religion today, which is what every church has, and any of the Baptist guys that went into Paul are going back to Baptist, nobody's going back, they're just trying to be the community hits. They're trying to get people involved. And I despise that. I despise that. And I'd like to try to destroy the magnificence of today's religion. I'd like to destroy the magnificence of having more people come to your church by lying to them. Not telling them something is still a lie. If you lead on the fact that you don't ever tell them about it. So I'm really down on anything to do that has to do with religion. I despise it. I know what it did to me. I know what it did to my kids today, because I taught them that religion. I taught them the folly of the Baptist church. And we kind of got caught up in the design of the church for the lost. And so we bring all these horrible kids into Awana, and it destroyed the good kids. So yeah, I'm against it. I despise it. And one of the things that is in there is baptism. That's kind of their main salvation thingy, is to be baptized. And I despise this kind of stuff. And I want to destroy the magnificence. Now, in order to destroy the magnificence of it, you've got to be not, oh, well, I'm glad you had a nice baptism. I hope you had a good day. And you go to celebrate it with the family. And everybody talks about when they were baptized. You know, you go into the churches. I went into a church one time and had a list of all the people in the church and when they were baptized. And then when they die, they get to go to heaven, kind of a thing. And how many people are in hell today because they're baptized? Well, they all would be, but they thought they're... How many people in the olden days died because of their baptism? And they fought for that thing. Maybe, you know, that's the pre-1611. Maybe that's what it was in those days. We get into that kind of a thing, because that sure was the big issue. But today, no, it's just a farce. Now, there are those that... the baptism when you're a baby, the Luther thing, probably everybody else kind of goes along this way a little bit. If you're baptized as a baby, you become a child of God. And then when you take the communion, you receive the Holy Spirit. There's that general teaching. You get the people that believe that your baptism gives you a salvation. And I just have to say, I'm sorry, your salvation is from an unknown God. You don't even know about your salvation. You don't know about your God, but you do the baptism thing. You got those that get into the hassles about baptism. Did you say the right thing? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Or did you say in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Or what did you say? Because I've heard pastors say, you've got to say this or it didn't work. See, this is just as baloney as the communion, the Lord's Supper. Shot glasses, big glasses. What's the bread thing? You know, some people do it quietly. Some people do it every week. Some people... It's all just a bunch of religious garbage with everybody's own little denominational touch to it. So, and everybody... The Mormons baptize? Man, the Mormons are baptized for you. For you. So what's the point? Why do you need to get it so when you die they can baptize for you? This is just the dumbest stuff. I remember a story time here. I guess it seems to be how we all talk to people anymore with stories. Went to a Mormon library when they were doing the genealogy. One of the ladies was going through her past, finding out who she could have her children baptized for to get them saved into the Mormon church. And she came across one of them who was a thief and said, I just heard her say, I'm not going to get baptized for him. He was a thief. So that lady thought that she had the power to go back into her relatives and her genealogies and find out the names of these people and have their kids baptized in their local pool. I'm sorry, in their temple holy font. And get them saved as into the Mormon church after they've died. You've got so many questions with baptisms. if people are saved with baptism, okay, and they believe that baptism saves them, and a lot of these people still believe that you can lose your salvation, okay, when they get their salvation back, why didn't they get it back by baptism? Why aren't those people being baptized every couple of weeks because they lost their salvation during the week? What about those that, if they think that baptism should follow your salvation, which is common, Baptist church and everything, a lot of them, but they also believe that you can lose your salvation, then when they get right with God again, why don't they get baptized again? Shouldn't they get baptized again based on what they believe? This is all the stupidity of the Baptist stuff. What if there's no water around? I've heard people say, well, God gives you a special... No, he wouldn't. If you need to get baptized to be saved, or even baptized afterwards, you better have some water around. You know how much money that costs a church to put a baptistry in? I guess you can go down to the local motel, use their pool. What's with that? A pool? Is it a private baptism or is it a public baptism? What if it's in the wintertime and you have no baptistry and you've always gone down during the summer? Well, we'll hold off the baptism until the summertime. Oh, okay, so if you believe that that baptism is a testimony, so we're going to hold off your testimony until the summer. If you believe it's an act of obedience to God, then you're going to hold off that act of obedience until the summer. This is crazy stuff. Again, this is just shows the folly of it all. Are you going to wear sheets when you get baptized, white sheets? You're going to have your clothes on underneath the sheets or not underneath, or be naked underneath the sheets. So when you come out of the water, you're a wet t-shirt contest winner or loser, depending upon, you know, what you got there. I've seen that. It's pornography in the church. Been through it. I nearly killed a pastor. I wanted to just wring his neck. I'm glad it was a private baptism for us. When we did it one time, I've been baptized, let's see, once as a child, once there. Then I was told I was going to be the principal in Las Vegas for this private school at this Baptist church. And then the pastor asked me, by the way, what's your baptism experience? I told him what it was. He said, well, that wasn't good enough. You need to have one better than that. Went to a private pool and has given a legitimate believer's baptism so God would bless the school. It's, you know, it's just dumb. Just dumb stuff. So what do we do here? You take your Bible, you write to divide that thing, and you read up on all the baptisms that are in the Bible. Because if you want to find some conflict of, you want to find some contradiction, then read the word baptism, baptize, in your Bible, and you're going to see all sorts of different things in there. So, rightly dividing will actually expose this baptistic confusion that's out there. It's all to do with the way of God, but Paul is all to do with the way of God more perfectly. So, let's do that this morning. Let's dig into this baptism thing. Now, I imagine most of you have heard the fact that there are seven baptisms. Well, I've found people that say there are five. I've found people that say there are eight. And whatever. So who cares, right? If you do the seven thing, you can make it look like it's the perfect thing, number seven, you know, perfect. Or what's number seven, completion or something like that, I think it is. Whatever. Forgot all that stuff. So here we go. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at this baptism stuff this morning, and we'll see the folly of it all, and we'll see which one really counts, what's really going on here, and why. Well, I don't know, because who are you going to tell this to? Who's interested? Nobody's interested. The biblical design of them. They're happy with their baptism. They were baptized when they were a child, so they're a child of God. Always have been. It's damning is what it is. It's a huge damning thing. And a baptism is a good question to ask somebody, because if they believe in the baptism thing, or they want to do a baptism, or the Lord's Supper, then you know what you got. You got yourself a modern gospel Christian. Probably not saved. If he is, it's totally accidental. And, well, they don't get saved accidentally, so I guess either he is or he isn't, based on the truth. And they'll do this stuff. It's a feel-good stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, here's a quickie. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Oh, I tell you. Like I said, who's going to listen to this and get right with their baptism stuff anyway? But the guy asked a question. We'll answer the question for him. Maybe he's got people he talks to. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Oh, there's your baptism in the wilderness, church in the wilderness. That's your wilderness journey crowd, and it's called that a baptism unto Moses. Baptized unto Moses. That's weird, but it was. And all did eat the same spirit to meet on and on it goes. So there's one of them. I just mentioning right there. That's Old Testament. Okay. So if you want to go out there and go along Hoover Dam, I guess, and have your water higher above you, and you can pretend you're walking through the Red Sea, and then go out there and walk around in the desert for a while and eat locusts and snakes and all this kind of stuff, and you want to say you're having a baptism, and I guess nobody does that. That would be an Old Testament example. Why do they want to do that? They know better than that. Okay, so let's go to a really confusing one. Let's go to Matthew. Let's go into the Gospels. We get into John's baptism. The classic, 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 classic. Matthew chapter 3. Make a bunch of verses here. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And his baptism was to Israel. Remember, there's nothing to individuals in the Gospels. It's to the Jews as a nation. I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Talking about the nation of Israel. Let's just look up some verses here. Talking about John's baptism. Matthew chapter 3, verse 41. 41. That's not possible. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Okay? So there's one. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, put your little stories together there. Acts chapter 2, we got the Pentecost. Okay, so we know what's coming. We know what's coming. But right now, what counts is John's baptism. And he's basically saying there, but when he comes, he's going to eventually take over this thing, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost, meaning I'm done. John himself even admits that he's done. So, that ought to be something for people right there. But John's baptism was a water baptism. Look at Mark chapter 1, Matthew, Mark. These are just verses to show people, but it doesn't matter, like I say. Chapter 1, verse 4 in Mark, it says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Remission is not forgiveness. Remission is setting him aside. If your cancer is in remission, you're happy, but you still got it. You want that cancer to be gone, because that cancer will come back someday. Look at Luke chapter 3, verse 3. I need to mark where that little sniff is at. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 3. Luke 3, verse 3. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Okay, so there you have it. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. I'll let Brother Bob, is he out there? Not today. He can go through this thing and take out the sniffs and the snorts here. Acts chapter 13, verse 24. When John had first preached before his coming. Now this is a teaching of what happened in the past. This is what he's talking about. This is a historical conversation here. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. To all the people of Israel. That wasn't preached to us. It wasn't preached to the Gentiles, to all the people of Israel. Verse 25, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, okay, so his course, as he fulfilled, as he did his job. And then he says, again, back to the three chapters there, that Christ is going to baptize with the Holy Ghost. John wasn't doing that. He was. It's a baptism of repentance. Change your life, nation, and get this thing back. Your Messiah is coming. Repent. Your Messiah is coming. And why we take that today and apply that to us, individual heathen, the Gentiles, that's false teaching to the max. But everybody does it out there. Baptism is a big thing. If it's not babies, it's the adults. And you know, here's an adult that gets baptized, a little sprinkly-dinkling on their little head and all that stuff. So then they become a child of God. So now they got to take their communion to get the Spirit of God in them. And the other reason I despise this stuff, by the way, is because my family is Lutheran. And they believe that their baptism made them Christians. And they believe that their faith gets them to heaven because they've been baptized as a child and they take the communion every month. That's where they're at. That's a lie. According to the scriptures, that's a lie. I despise that. Based on mom's testimony, she'd be in hell. She had great faith. I know, she had great faith, but did she have Christ faith? That's the question you've got to ask people. It's not about our faith, it's his faith that we have to have. The faith of Jesus Christ. Anyway, let's go down here and look at Acts chapter 19. This is John's baptism we're talking about here. And this is John's baptism during John's time in the Gospels. Not today. Acts chapter 19, verse 3. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? Oh, okay, this is Paul now, and he's asking these guys. Look at verse 2. He says unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So there's a charismatic question right there. See, you can even take Paul's teachings based on his historical growth through his ministry, and you can pop a bunch of different beliefs in there too. Ask somebody, have you received the Holy Ghost since you got saved, since you believed? That's what the Pentecostals ask. I've been asked that. Romans takes care of that question. Anyway, and they said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Why have they ever heard of any of this stuff? And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, well, unto John's baptism, which is their baptism for repentance. Okay. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, there you go. See, Paul did a baptism. Wow. So that takes care of that. Yeah, but look at verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues. So Paul still had to put his hands on them. They're still baptized, but he still had to touch them to get them to have the Holy Ghost. And they spake with tongues and prophesied. So there's all the charismatic stuff right there. And it's from Paul. Wow. Isn't that exciting? It's amazing stuff. Look at down at verse 10. You got to keep this in mind when you're reading these early times of Paul, verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Both Jews and Greeks. So Paul had to do the baptism thing. It was still assigned to the Jews. Early transition, the whole thing. You can't say that Paul believes in baptism because he preaches against it here in a couple minutes. So this John the Baptist baptism, look at Acts chapter 8, by the way. Look at Acts chapter 8. Why we can't go with John's baptism, for obvious reasons, but here's another obvious one. John chapter 8, verse 16. Look at 15. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he has fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. See, that's all charismatic stuff. So when Paul got into that thing, that was right after he got started in this thing. Transition time. Transition. What are we looking at today? I think we're looking at the transition into the tribulation. We're not in the tribulation yet. Boy, there's some transitioning going on. It's amazing what's going on out there. And you folks that are having children, boy, more power to you. Better be the power of God and that King James Bible in your lives. Rightly divided. For your kids are gone. Born to go to hell. Okay, so here's another baptism that people like to claim. Why they do the water baptism that they do. John chapter 1, verse 29. Well, Jesus was baptized, so why shouldn't we? Okay, but Jesus' baptism, even though it was by John, wasn't even a baptism of repentance. Look at verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Okay? Then this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I'm coming baptizing with water. So Jesus was baptized and manifest himself to Israel. Here I am. That's what that was all about. Did Jesus have to repent to be baptized? You know, that kind of stuff? Of course not. So why should we be baptized because Jesus was? His purpose was totally different. That's an easy one. Let's go back to Go back to Matthew 3 again. Now we go back to that one verse that's got some other baptisms in there. And it's interesting. I didn't realize people didn't have this thing nailed down with the baptism of fire. What is that? We go back to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, where it says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And little did I know, but when I started looking that thing up to see other people saying, kind of curiosity kind of stuff, they don't have the baptism of fire thing down. Some say it's the judgment seat. Some say that it's the tongues in Acts chapter 2. Some say it's going to hell. It's used in a common, baptism of fire. I think it's your first battle in a war. I mean, I read all sorts of different things people are saying this baptism of fire is. We know that baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Let's look here at Luke chapter 3. I'll show you some verses here. Luke chapter 3. When I first went out on door-to-door campaigning in my Baptist church in Las Vegas, I'll never forget this guy. He was sitting in his recliner, and he just popped me with this question. Okay, then what's this baptism of fire? I said, I've never heard of it. I was about as prepared, as a... that was a disaster. So, what is it here? Look at Luke 3:16. There it says, again, he shall baptize you. Well, I'm sorry, I got the yawns and the sniffles this morning. Baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So what is that? I think it's Matthew 13. I'm not sure now. Must be Matthew 13. Let's go back to Matthew 13 here. Matthew 13 here. Verse 25, is that what I want? Matthew 13, 25. Nope. Must be Luke. Is it Luke 13? Sure there is. Must be Luke 13, 25. No, probably not. Nope, neither one. 13:25, whatever. You know what? I bet you it's Matthew. I must have looked at the wrong one. Matthew 13:25. What do we got there? Matthew 13:25. Yeah, right. That's not what I'm looking for. So who knows? Let's go to Mark chapter 10. We'll get on to this here. Well, maybe it's Mark 13. Might as well look. Nope. Anyway, Mark chapter 10. Verse 38. A little story here. Actually 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldst do for us whatsoever ye shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of? That'd be the cup of suffering. He has to go through that. But is it just a cup of suffering on the earth here? Most of these people that teach this stuff about baptism do not believe that Christ went to hell. They don't believe that. So, could that possibly be more of the cup there? And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Oh, okay, there's a water baptism. Is that what we're talking about here? Drink of the cup. What is this cup? What is that cup going to have to do with anything here? Let's go to Matthew 20. Matthew 20, verse 20. Says it again, the same story, a little differently now. Go to verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not that what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized of the baptized? Oh, man, I'm sorry. With the baptism that I'm baptized with, they say that we are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup. Okay, so there will be suffering there. And be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. Okay, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. So he says to these guys, they're going to still get that same baptism. But we're not just talking about a water baptism here. There is this baptism of fire. I mean, it doesn't really nail it down like we think it should. But again, people don't believe that Christ had to go to hell. Matthew 3:10-11, okay. Right, there it is again. Baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. So there's a judgment act. You would think that possibly it would be with the judgment. What judgment do we have to worry about? The judgment seat of Christ. Fire. We're not going to be put in the fire, though. Our works will be. So it's not that we are being baptized there. How about the lake of fire for the lost people? They'll be immersed, but they don't come out again. So, there's a baptism that people never talk about. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Why would Christ take a baptism that the lost people had? Because when he becomes their Savior, he has paid the full price. When you die, you've got to go to hell because of the sins, lake of fire. And see, if Christ didn't go to hell, then he didn't pay for all my sins. He didn't make the full payment. So I guess I could have to go to purgatory for a while so I can finish off my payment. No, Christ had to go to hell. And these Baptist guys that don't think he did, then they don't think he was all done on the cross. Well, sure it was done on the cross. He even said it was finished. But that isn't the only place he ever said it was. He said it was finished in the garden, too. And it wasn't finished on the cross. He said I had to go to hell. And when he came back, it still wasn't finished. Otherwise, Mary could have touched him. But she didn't. She didn't dare. So it wasn't finished. Had to go up and pay the blood. Okay. Then he comes back. Then was it finished? Not quite. He's always got to go through the time of grace with Paul. Then what? No, then he's got to come back for the second coming. So it's not finished. Then he's got to go through the millennium. But then that's even got to be shut down to the devil going to... See, this isn't finished yet. But Christ had to pay the full price. He had to go to hell. Now, Acts chapter 1, here's another baptism. Acts chapter 1. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So that's all this was about, was Israel, was the kingdom. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons when the Father, which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea. Da-da-da-da. And then it takes place in Acts chapter 2. Now we get into the mid-Acts crowd. Is this where the church began, Acts chapter 2? Or did the church begin in Acts chapter 8? Or did the church begin in Acts chapter 13? Or did the church begin in Acts chapter 28? Where did the church begin? And Paul and Peter preached two different gospels. Did both of them go into the same church, or were there two different churches at that time? And you go back to Paul. Jesus, he talked to Peter about the church being started. Under what? By what Paul said. Yeah, belief that Christ was the Messiah. Are there two different bodies of Christ out there? These are the questions these guys get into. And then the people go, oh, that's interesting. That's really good stuff. And they start going to those churches, or they listen to them on Pal Talk or whatever, and they get all excited about this stuff, and they get, you know, close. I heard somebody say, I don't want to be close. Close in, like an airplane pilot. How does he say this? Close landing an airplane, he was 5 feet short of the runway. Well, they all still died, but he was close. And I believe the mid-Acts guys are nice people, blah, 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 blah. But they're close, but they're mixed up. And like Jeff says there in Colorado, they received the grace of God. How's that go? I forgot how it says it, but they really didn't receive it. A lot of these guys aren't King James. A lot of these guys don't get into Paul's standards and teachings. And it goes on. The music is horrible. The women are preaching in the churches and teaching. It's just like, okay, we're going to believe that Paul's our Savior. Paul is our Savior, our Apostle. But we're still not going to kick into our life what he would have us do because we're under God's grace. So we don't have to do that. It's a low level of following Paul, as far as I'm concerned. But whatever, who cares? Let's get back to our subject here. So there's that baptism, and there's fire that comes down on their head. Why wouldn't that be the baptism of fire? See, I mean, everybody can come up with a bunch of questions about this stuff. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Here's another one. Well, aren't these all the same? No. Because Peter preaches this one, Acts 2:38. And it's for remission of sins. It's to baptize, repent, and be baptized. Sounds like John's message to me. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, so now they can have that. So John never taught that. But John's baptism was for repentance. So was Peter's. But now you can receive the Holy Ghost. And if you're into that sort of a thing, you run it down to 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, and 47. There's the design of the old church back in these days, and this is what people are going back to today in the churches. So, can you see why this religion is a folly? They're basing it on the wrong church, according to your King James, only King James Bible. Now, that's serious stuff to think that our churches today, that we're going to go to, our conservative, nice, religious churches are so wrong. Well, that's just your opinion. No, it's not my opinion. Look at your Bible. Look at your scriptures. They are so wrong that there has to be a reason for all this stuff. Well, we know that back in Isaiah and Ezekiel, the devil wants to be higher, wants to be like the Most High. He wants to be worshipped. So if he's behind all this stuff, and he's another Jesus that Paul warns about in 2 Corinthians 11. So, to me, the conclusion of this folly of modern Christianity is you're worshiping an unknown God, a false God. You don't have the real Jesus, you have another Jesus. The spirit you're following is the spirit of Antichrist. That's the devil. He's the Verizon of the world. He's the ruler of the world, of the air, prince of the power of the air, God of this world. So this is why I despise religion. It teaches people to follow Satan. And you can't tell them that. You can, but if they don't have the authority of a King James Bible rightly divided and some serious preaching and teaching, they'll never get it. They'll never see it. I put that on my kids when I gave them the Baptist way. We found out that the Baptist way was all folly and a bunch of hypocritical baloney. Now, neither one of them want anything to do with any of it. Nobody wants to deal with Paul. They want to know what's wrong. They want God to bless them physically, and if he doesn't, they dump him. And to get into Paul, I'm telling you, Romans 2:22, I think, 11:22, the goodness of God. Nobody wants to hear about the goodness of God. They don't make any changes. They're putting their money into religion. They're donating to religious causes. They're supporting religious missionaries. Their money is going into that craft, and it's religious. It's folly, and it's wrong. Somebody take a stand. Yeah, but the people are happier there. The people are nicer. That may be true, but they're still wrong. And why the Paul guys aren't as supposed to be as joyful as we are is because we can't get rid of our religion. All sorts of things for that. So let's get back on the trail here. How are we doing for time? I better get back on here. Then you got in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 something that people call the believer's baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. And according to this, this is the baptism we need. This is the one that counts. This is 1 Corinthians 12:13. Because by one Spirit we are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink unto one Spirit. Okay, there you go. One Spirit. There's our baptism. It's a spiritual baptism. Look at Ephesians 4. Yeah, I yacked on too long again here, time-wise. We'll finish it up anyway. Ephesians 4, verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Okay, look at Colossians chapter 2. Is it one? Is it a water baptism? Is it a spiritual baptism? What is it? If you're going to follow Paul, it's a spiritual baptism. Look at the Colossians chapter 2. This whole spiritual circumcision thing. Verse 12, it says, verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised of the circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism. Is that a water baptism? Of course not. through the ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. So what if this is a water baptism, then this is what takes place at your baptism. This doesn't take place at a water baptism at all. That's a spiritual circumcision. It's a spiritual operation. It has nothing to do with water at all. That's the baptism we pertain ourselves to today. It's a spiritual baptism. But, you know, they go to another one. And they call this one believer baptism by immersion afterwards. This is when, no. You don't need to get saved to be, you don't need to be baptized to be saved. But you do need to be baptized after you're saved. Then the paragraph I was reading in that little guy's, somebody's book, you know what was missing in there? Well, of course you know what was missing in there. Scriptures. They had two illustrations to use, but they didn't have anybody saying that we need to be following with a baptism. First they talk about, it's a testimony, it's a visual picture. Okay, well, fine. I mean, you can do that if you want. But why not do the crucifixion in your church as a picture of what Christ went through? Oh, wait a minute. They do that in some of the spearfish out here. They have a life of Christ kind of. Maybe they don't have it anymore, but I forget what they call those things. They reenact the crucifixion and stuff. And we got the movie today from Passion of the Christ, which is all about the Antichrist because he got a left eye bam damaged and blah, 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 blah. So why would we look upon the shame of our Savior? Why would we do that again to him? That's Catholics that keep doing it. Anyway, so this picture stuff, passion play, there we go. Why do we have to have a picture of our salvation of people by the baptism? So they come to the church and you show them this. And to them, see, to them, to a lot of those people, that baptism is their salvation. So we need to destroy that and then tell them what this is. This is just a picture of it. Talk about confusion. The people, again, in the water baptism, they're always talking about born again. Well, that's about the nation of Israel. We know that one. Then they talk about it's a confession before men. Where do we have to make that confession? Look at Romans chapter 1. They say that it's an act of obedience. It's your first act of obedience. It is. You know, I've had people say to me, oh, I felt really good after that. Well, yeah, you were taught to. You were told you were going to. So you do. Of course you can. Can't go by feelings. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. There's that phrase, for obedience to the faith. Romans chapter 16, verse 26. Romans 16, 26. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, and made known to all nations. Here's your testimony, drum roll, for the obedience of faith, not obedience to baptism. The first thing you do when you get saved is you start living by faith. There's your obedience right there. Water baptism is obedience. Where do you come up with that? How about Acts 8:37? That's a classic. Matter of fact, it's missing in all the modern Bibles because they don't want people to think that baptism after salvation is correct, so they take that out of the Bible. Now, so I used to preach all the time on that thing. It is missing. It is something to show somebody. Why does your Bible go Acts 8:36 at 8:38? Why does it skip that verse? Well, I don't know. Well, it isn't to show that the guy's baptized after he's saved, which is what we've all said. Verse 36, and they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Ah, see, so salvation comes before baptism. And here's your classic. And they take it out of the modern Bibles. You know why they take it out of the modern Bibles? This thing exposes the differences between salvation as such in the Old Testament Gospels and Paul's teachings. Because the rest of that verse says, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We can't go to that verse to show that baptism follows salvation. That's a classic for the Baptist. Been there 1,000 times. That's before Paul. So that one doesn't work. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Here's one that they can catch you with. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Got the jailers, that whole story. And they said, believe on the Lord, verse 31, Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed his stripes, and was baptized. He and all his straightway. Well, there you go. But don't forget. Look at chapter 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there is the synagogue of the Jews. Look at verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy. This is the part of Acts that when you read through the rest of the verses and the rest of the books in the Bible, there were still Jews around. Baptism was a sign. It's amazing stuff, isn't it? Let's go to 1 Peter, because they always want to go to 1 Peter. Let's go to, okay, I'll get you on this one then. 1 Peter chapter 3. The like figure, I'll go verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Yeah, but they're on top of the water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of it. Oh, there it is. Good conscience toward God. There it is. You've heard that 1,000 times. You just want to get baptized, it gives you good conscience toward God. That's in Peter. Pastor, duh. That's not written to us. Rightly dividing cleans up the Baptist. The baptism issue. Totally cleans it up. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Boy, sorry about the other noises. That's an old thing, isn't it? I think it's an old thing. I think I'm even sounding old now. Acts chapter 6. I'm sorry. And the memory is another issue. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 2. Let's read verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, plural, and of the laying of hands. Then it goes into the fact that you can lose yourself. This is tribulational stuff. Put that stuff away, he says. Baptisms, plural. So, Romans chapter 6, let's finish up with Romans chapter 6. These are Paul verses on baptism. You put a nail in the wall, then you kind of whack it a couple more times to make sure you dimple it and all that stuff. Make sure that nail isn't going to come out ever again. Pow, 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 pow. Then you whack it a couple more times. This is what we're doing here. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This is where they get some of the stuff they have to say in a baptism. I baptized a bunch of kids one time with Dr. Ruckman, and I was so nervous. I didn't know what to, my mind, I didn't know what to say when I brought him up. So I dumped the kid under the water. On the way up, I went, blah, 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 newness of life. So I didn't even say anything. It's just folly. It's just baloney. But we are buried with him by baptism into death, spiritual baptism. Spiritual circumcision, the operation of God made without hands. It's all a spiritual thing. Romans chapter 8, one page over, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised you up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. There's our spiritual baptism, and the Spirit is in us. Ephesians 4 talks about the one, and 1 Corinthians 12, 13, one Spirit. So when Paul says he didn't come to baptize, you know what he meant? He didn't come to baptize. That was not his job. That was not the job to have done. No such thing as a good conscience, and after baptism, and the believer's baptism, and being immersed, and da-da-da-da. Just a bunch of Old Testament stuff being taught today. And that is exactly what the devil wants people to follow. It's too simple. And no, you don't want to identify with the Baptist churches, even though we have a baptism that takes place. We don't do it. Christ does it. So it's just wrong division, leading us to what? Increase in ungodliness. And that's what's taking place in our churches, ungodly churches. And if we just want to, you know what, people are so addicted to church, they'll do anything to keep their church going. They'll even start believing lies again. They got to have that church. They can't live without going to church. And there's hardly any place to go anymore to have Paul talk to you. And if that's the case, quit going. You're fighting with religion. And Paul even says to quit messing with these guys with their silly questions and their profane babblings. Just stay away from that stuff. It wastes your time and causes strife. Just get out of there. But we're afraid to live a life with our Bible and our Bible only. Where can you find a man or a wife willing to do that? Where can you find a man strong enough to even teach that stuff to this family? So as a result, devil's got us so we can't read. Devil's got us so we have to go to church. Devil's got us so we just have to do that stuff. And devil's going to have those kids. Devil's going to have you. He's going to have your marriage. He'll give you a happy marriage to keep you from doing right. He'll give you happy children. Put your kid in a public school. They're a lot happier. They're going to come out really dumb, being taught the wrong thing, but they're happy. And you're happy because now you can sleep in the morning. You don't have to teach your kids anymore. And the dad's happy because it's free. And then the word is stand. We stand by faith. I'm not sure we're standing much anymore for anything. I think we're all just starting to give in. You take a stand, it's negative, it's politically incorrect. You can't find the clothes anywhere. You still want to go on with life like this. I mean, to take a stand, it's getting tough. I was talking to somebody last night. We were talking about the early days of the tribulation. I said, you remember that the early part of the tribulation, things will actually be working. Doesn't mean they're right, but they will be working. America will be better off here pretty soon. We will be doing better, but we'll be doing wronger. But everybody will be happier. They'll come up with a financial system. We know that. And it'll start with what? Three numbers. Duh. Things are going to be better. There'll be more peace. He's going to come in with peace and flattery, and people are going to buy it. So if you're a King James Bible guy, rightly divided, you're going to know something's wrong here. And you're not going to go along with it. Well, why not? We're supposed to go along with everything. No, we're not. We're supposed to stand. We already do it. We already give in to so much stuff for the sake of the family, for the sake of friends, for the sake of, well, this is what I want to do. And so we don't take that. And Christ knew it. If he expected us to do the right thing, he put the Spirit of God upon our flesh. He does. He takes us away from our flesh. Our flesh still has victory upon victory upon victory, but we have the victory on the inside in our soul. He says, listen, this is a reasonable thing. Can't you at least live to please me? Which means we still ought to quit doing that stuff, and we ought to start doing the right stuff. I just get yakking here. We'll leave it at that. Anyway, drop the baptism junk. That didn't do you anything but make you wet, and it just probably makes your relatives happy. Oh, they got baptized. How exciting. And we don't believe how the reason they did it was. But they still got baptized. That was so cute. No, it's baloney. Baptism is baloney. One baptism we want is a spiritual baptism. And that's what Paul teaches.